Thank you for choosing this resource by Creflo and Taffy Dollar. Our goal is to provide an understanding of God's grace and empower change. Now listen to the gospel taught with simplicity and understanding, and watch it change your life.
And I want to take some time to, you know, we've been on this study for nearly a little over 2 months. And I pray that you're moving from prayer to communion. And this is so very important. But I don't want to end this series without teaching you the relationship between fasting and prayer. We've heard it mentioned throughout our lives, and I'm going to challenge your thinking where that is concerned. I'm going to challenge your tradition where that is concerned. And I do want to make a distinction between fasting and prayer. Under the law and the prophets, you know, versus, you know, what Jesus began to teach us about fasting and prayer. So I want to call this, if you need a title, I want to call it, Why Should We Engage in Prayer and Fasting? Why should we engage in prayer and fasting? Now, prayer and fasting doesn't move the devil, and it doesn't move God. Now, listen to me. Prayer and fasting doesn't move the devil and doesn't move God. God has already given the disciples all the power they need on heaven and earth. So those are some very strong comments at the very beginning of this. So I want to start off in Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 through 21. And I think by starting here, we can go and revisit just those first two comments that I made. And I think you'll understand it a lot better. All right, verse 14, Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying. So he's approaching the disciples. And verse 15 said, he said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed. He says, oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Think of that. He says, I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. So he brought him to the disciples, and the disciples looked at the condition he was in, and I'm sure that affected their faith because of what they saw. And, you know, Jesus is now addressing that, oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil. Now, that's interesting. The condition that this young boy had, Jesus went right to the source, and he rebuked the devil. Pause for a moment. When was the last time you rebuked the devil? You know you have that authority. Matthew chapter 10 says, the Bible says to cast out devils, rebuke the devil. Some of you just letting him just have his way. And you have the authority to rebuke him. I like to define the word rebuke like this. Stop, no more. That's what it means. And some of you need to use your authority to say to the devil, stop. No more. When you see situations going on in your life, with your children, with your finances, in your physical body, rebuke the devil. Stop. No more. Now, so Jesus did that, and you know what happened, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart after all this was over with, and they said, why could we not cast him out? At least they asked. They said, man, we saw what you did. That was amazing. Why could we not cast him out? And some of you may be in the same situation. I don't understand why I couldn't do this particular thing. And Jesus said unto them, he answers them right away because of your unbelief. He said, the issue here is an issue of unbelief. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, the issue is, when he said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, most Christians immediately will say here that he's referring to the demon. He is not referring to the demon. The demon wasn't the issue. Unbelief was the issue. How come we couldn't cast him out? He said, because of your unbelief. But this kind of unbelief is not going to be dealt with except by prayer and fasting. Now, when you interpret this as referring to the demon rather than the unbelief, then I can see you right now. Oh, I can't cast that devil out. I got to go fast and pray before I can cast it out. Well, I mean, how about if you're in a situation you didn't know you're going to show up and you ain't got time to go fast and pray? He's not talking about the demon. He's talking about unbelief. This kind of unbelief doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. The solution to this kind of unbelief, which was the problem, the reason why you disciples couldn't do this was because of your unbelief. And the only way to deal with your unbelief is by prayer and fasting. And while they abode in Gentiles, the Son of Man shall be betrayed on him. So here's the part I want you to see. I thought all my life, man, there are some people that cast out devils because they pray and they fast. And that's not what he was referring to. He was referring to the unbelief, not the devil. Now, let's go back to that first statement I made. Prayer and fasting doesn't move the devil. And prayer and fasting doesn't move God. And so a lot of people, they pray and they fast. Man, surely if we pray and fast for 50 days, we can move God. No, God's already moved. See, God has already given the disciples all power in heaven and in earth. They had all power in heaven and in earth over the devil. Look at Luke chapter 10 to verify this statement. Now remember, don't hold on to the tradition of how you believed and what you thought about prayer and fasting, because if you do, you're going to miss a great opportunity to be delivered. If you holding on to, well, that ain't how I heard it, and that's not how I was taught, well, that's just what it is. You gotta learn how to rightly divide the word and understand what he's saying here. The devil was not the topic here. The unbelief was the topic here. Look what he said in Luke 10, 19. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you see the word power twice. The first word power was, I give unto you authority to have absolute mastery over serpents and scorpions, and I give you authority over all of the ability of the enemy. So the disciples already had authority over the enemy. They didn't need to fast for it. All they needed to do is believe it and receive it and exercise it. You don't have to fast for more authority over the demon. He'd already given you authority over all of the ability of the devil, and nothing will by any means hurt you, okay? And so that was certainly not the case. So we must learn how to release what God has already given us versus trying to get God to do and to give us more, or trying to get God to do, well, you know, what he's already done. We got to learn how to release what God has already given us. God's already given us power and authority. We got to learn how to do that versus trying to get God to give us more. And we're trying to get, you hear that a lot in church. More God, more God, more God, more of you. They sing songs, more, more, more. He's already given you all you're going to need. And so we got to learn how to believe that. So when God calls us, and when God called us, whatever he called you to, he gave us all the anointing we're ever going to get. Man, I had to learn this the hard way. I used to spend time on the weekends, I mean, shucking the corn, man, on my face, spitting all on the floor, praying and all that, because I was trying to get God to give me more anointing. And I remember when I got choked up, He says, I've already anointed you. In other words, what you are in this room trying to get me to do, I've already done it. You got all you're going to ever get. So you need to learn how to believe it. You need to learn how to use it. Well, what fasting and prayer does, it affects your senses. Fasting and prayer affects your senses to bring them into line. So that, for example, when you see a boy falling on the ground, like the disciples, they saw him falling on the ground and spitting up and all that stuff, and they saw him wallowing and foaming. He says, what will happen is you don't immediately think it didn't work. God didn't heal him. See, fasting and prayer works on your souls and senses, so you won't go by what you saw. So when you fast and pray, it's to get your mind and your soul in line with the word, regardless of your senses, regardless of what you see. That boy foaming at the mouth on the ground won't move you, because you believe that what I just released my authority for will happen. Now, if you got a problem believing that, he says you need to fast and pray. Because fasting will correct your unbelief. Fasting will cause your senses to begin to line up with the word of God, literally. So you've brought your senses, when you fast and pray, you bring them into subjection so they'll respond to your spirit, and your spirit dictates to them instead of them dictating to your spirit. Your spirit now begins to talk to your senses and say, don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you hear. Only be moved by what you believe. Now, fasting and prayer, if you find that you are being moved by what you see, and that boy falling on the ground and foaming at the mouth, and you're like, wait a minute, now I believe that devil came out, and I believe that what I said was, but now your show don't look like it. No, fasting and praying will cause your spirit to bring your senses into subjection. To it. And so your spirit starts dictating to your senses rather than your senses dictating to your spirit. Whoo, boy. Amen. So you don't use fasting to change God. God's already moved by grace. We don't have to move him. God's already moved. Our church is fasting for 60 days. Well, why? Because we're going to move God. Well, he's already moved. Your fasting's not going to move God. God's already decided to do what he's done, and he's already done it. And so in the church, we've been kind of accustomed to saying, I'm fasting and praying so I can move God. God's already moved. Well, when did he move? He moved 2,000 years ago. He's already moved. So fasting and praying will not move God, because God's already moved. It's ourselves that we're moving by fasting and praying. It's ourselves that we're moving by fasting and praying. I'm moving myself from unbelief to belief. I'm moving myself from my senses to spirit. I'm moving myself from that place of, doubt to that place of complete faith. And when you're having issues in your mind and in your soul with believing God, you need to go on a fast. See, if God isn't on our side by what Jesus did, our fasting and praying is going to add the finished touch to that. It's not going to add the finished touch to that. Let me say that again. I want to make sure you didn't misunderstand this. If God isn't on our side by what Jesus did, see, God's on my side because of what Jesus did. God is on my side, and God's got my back because of what Jesus did. See, if he's not on your side because of what Jesus did, fasting and prayer is not going to add, the finished touch to that. God's on my side because of what Jesus did. God's not on my side because I decided to fast for 3 days. God's on my side before I decided to fast. God's on my side And fasting's not going to put the finishing touches to that. I believe what Jesus did. That's why God's on my side. You see what I'm saying? See, we need to fast because of carnality, not to move God. The word carnality, the root word there is carnal, and it literally means of the senses, of the five senses that we have. And so what happens, you're fasting because of carnality. You're fasting because you are allowing your senses to govern your life. And the way to get delivered from carnality is by fasting and praying. And that fasting and praying is moving you. How? Moving you in a position where you're lining up with God. Moving you in a position where you're believing the finished works of Jesus. Glory be to God. And so we can look at our lives and see areas of carnality where our body and our senses have been dictating to us. Yeah. You can look at your life and see where your body and your senses have been dictating to you. You don't believe me? Look at your gut. Look at your gut. That your gut is pure evidence that your body and your senses have been talking to you and have been dictating to you. So if you can't control your eating, you're also having trouble when you try to release your faith. Now, I ain't trying to mess with you and your hamburger, but that is the truth. If you cannot control your eating, somehow that area where you lack control is going to translate over into another area, okay, of your life. I had to realize this. I was the original Cookie Monster. And I found these oatmeal raisin cookies at Whole Foods. And they were real big and they were soft and oh, when they were hot, it was just, oh, it was just so. So I started eating them. And then I found that my body would talk to me every time I'd land in New York, go by Whole Foods and get them cookies. And then I realized wherever there was a Whole Food, you can get them cookies. And I'd go to get them cookies and my body was dictating to me. And I'm talking and I became addicted to oatmeal cookies. And I thought, wow, somebody just laugh about that. But it's like, how am I gonna overcome in spiritual matters and I can't even overcome oatmeal cookie? That is so close to something called idolatry. Idolatry is where you replace God or you move God out of first place in your life and you put something else in that place. And it's not really the issue of, somebody asked me one time, well, you know, is smoking weed wrong? Is doing this wrong or doing that? And my answer was, God's desire is for you not to be enslaved by anything. And think about that. You're the one with a free moral agency. You have a right to choose. And you've turned a part of your life over to be enslaved by something or someone. Something or someone. And here I am, man of faith, and I am a slave to a cookie. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a serious deal, a cookie. But it gets real serious now when that cookie goes down here and now all of a sudden, you know, you're enslaved into your anger and you're enslaved to, you know, losing it here and losing it there and you're enslaved to self-centeredness. And all of that was able to happen because you would not take authority over the cookie. Oh, I realized I had power. I'm going to fast and pray that I can say no to the cookie. And that began my journey of health and fitness. It's like I can take care of this. I can do this. I don't have to be the person in my generation, in my family, to die. You know, when I was 55, when I turned 55, it was a really weird day for me because I knew a lot of people in my family that died around that age, 55. And I took authority that day. And I went on a fast. And I prayed, and I took authority over my senses dictating to me about things they should not be dictating to me about. So if, for example, let me use this as an example. So let's say, for example, you pray for healing and you still feel the pain and your body says to you, I must not be healed. Well, I experienced that, you know. When the doctor diagnosed me with cancer, I prayed for healing and I still felt certain things. I'm like, well, I must not be healed. I couldn't pay any attention to that's my body talking to me. That's my senses talking to me. I must not be healed based on what? Based on the last report? Based on the last test? No, no. I would not change what I believed. I'm not going to do it. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the report says. I'm not going to do it. And that's where I became a fight. And I made my mind up. See, if I don't get that under control, I'm going to be dead somewhere. The word of God works. I know. I'm not walking around fearful that the word won't work. I got to be careful not to let my body take control of something. And so then you say body. You speak to your body. I told it to shut up. And I'm going to believe God. And the body says, you can't tell me to shut up. You don't control me in any other area. And I said, okay, here what we're going to do. You ain't going to eat till you shut up. Yeah, that's where that fasting and prayer come. Yeah, you ain't eat nothing until you shut up. Yeah, after about a meal or two, my body, okay, all right, you're healed. That's what this is for. And we've got to put it in the right place. The body says, you know, I'll throw a fit and then I'll, you know, if you're a kid, I'll throw a fit and I'll get what I want. See, our bodies are the exact same way. How can we expect them to reject what they feel and operate in faith when they have never, ever been taught to reject anything? And we've got to do that. Our bodies have been indulged. And we just say yes to everything. Yes to the cookie. Yes to the adultery. Yes to the lying. You see where it starts? And until you give the uncomfortable feeling, I know this is very practical, till you give the uncomfortable feeling to your body that says, it's not happening. You know, just cause temptation come doesn't mean you got to say yes to it. The grace of God will teach you how to say no and to live a godly life. If it wants something, then you just, you know, well, I'm going to feed it what it wants. Well, I need some me time. Well, you know, I this is just my truth, and I'm going to do what I feel like it, because you know you only go around once. Yeah, you tell yourself all that. And all you're doing is opening the door up for that to just graduate from one place. It'll go from the cookie, you know, to the cocaine. Because you don't understand that you have a very powerful, powerful something you can turn to called prayer and fasting and help to deliver you out of that situation. I mean, if you do that, I guarantee that your body will dictate, won't dictate to you the things that it used to dictate to you because you know about fasting and prayer and you know the power that comes when you begin to fast and you begin to pray. Let's look at a couple of things in Matthew chapter 4:4. I hope you got that. That's basically what I have come to discover where fasting is concerned. I was always fasting, looking for the big event. And I didn't realize that God operates secretly and quietly. And, you know, you fast and all of a sudden that fight goes away with your body. And you know, we got to just get away from some of these fables, some of these fables that we've created. Now, I'm sure some of you watch me right now. Well, what about this scripture? And you're over there in the law and the prophets that the Bible says ended with John the Baptist trying to convince me that what I'm teaching is not correct because you didn't found some Old Testament scripture or a scripture under the law. And you're not seeing what Jesus is trying to tell us right now. Jesus is trying to tell us and prepare us for the new covenant by saying unbelief is going to be the biggest issue. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he died for everything except unbelief. Unbelief. Why? Why didn't he die for unbelief? Because you are a free moral agent and you make a decision to believe or not to believe. And so unbelief cannot be, listen to me carefully, unbelief cannot be forgiven of, but it can be repented of. To repent means to change your mind about something. Now, what'd you say? Unbelief can't be forgiven of. Why? Because how you gonna forgive somebody and they don't even believe in forgiveness? Unbelief, how you gonna heal somebody and they don't even believe in God to heal them? But now if you repent of your unbelief and say, oh, I believe, then God can come in and do what needs to be done. Unbelief is the issue. You know, people, somebody says, well, I don't know why people go to hell. I do. They go to hell because they don't believe in Jesus as the sin sacrifice, and they won't receive him as the sacrifice for their sin. Unbelief. Well, what about the unpardonable sin? You know what the unpardonable sin is? Unbelief. What? It's unbelief. It's the only thing God has decided not to override. You are a man. You are a woman. You have been given a right to choose. You are a free moral agent. You make a decision, and God will not take that from you. It is a basic human right for you to be able to make a decision. He says, I place before you life or death. I place blessing or cursing. And then he said, you choose. And then he gave us a hint. He said, choose life. Choose life so that just you and your seed can prosper. But God's not going to choose for you. God's not going to decide for you. You can, listen, you can decide that you don't want to believe nothing Jesus has done, and God will love you and escort you all the way up to the gates of hell if that's your choice. That's a huge deal. That's a huge deal. And the whole New Testament is about your choice to believe Jesus, to believe the finished works, to believe the authority that he has given to you. Somebody says, oh, but Brother Dollar, I struggle with that. Well, you need to go on a fast. You need to go on a fast. Bring that body into subjection. Bring that body to a place where it is not flowing with the dictates of your senses, but it is flowing with what thus saith the Lord. And it lines up with what. And so now what does fasting do? It'll move you to line up in agreement with what Jesus said and what Jesus has done. Well, I know, man. Here it is, the end of December. You're getting ready to go into January. And you think, dear God, what the world that man said? That sounds like heresy to me. I ain't never heard that ever before in my life. Well, just because you ain't never heard it before doesn't mean it's wrong. Don't let your tradition cause the word of God to be of no effect. Amen. Well, I don't believe it. Well, fine, then go on a 30-day fast and die. And, you know, get before God and let him tell you what I'm trying to tell you right now. Say, amen, I probably need to repent for what I just said, but anyway, you need to hear what I'm talking about, man. Look at this, Matthew 4:4. He said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then look at Proverbs 4:22. Proverbs 4:22. He said, for they are life unto those that find them. Well, let's start at verse 21. Let them words not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they, referring to the words, are life unto those that find them, and they are health to your flesh. The word is health to your flesh. But your body, if it is led by your sensory mechanism, your body will either agree with your carnal mind, your senses, or your body will be in a position to agree with the word of God, and you have to take authority over your physical body. The word can actually give physical strength to you. So what about prayer then? We hear about fasting. What about prayer? Prayer does the same thing fasting does. It causes your natural man to rebel against those things that try to go against God. It doesn't satisfy the senses. It forces them to get under control, especially when you pray in tongues. Especially when you pray in tongues. I'm telling you, you have spent a considerable amount of time praying in tongues, you will know your body trying to go to sleep and your body trying to, your mind wandering off and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, you can train yourself, man. You can train yourself to begin to walk in these spiritual things. Look here, my time's up. I wish I had more time. We will dig into this at another time. I pray that you've gotten something out of this series, Prayer into Communion. And I pray that it'll bless and change your life. Now listen to me. Somebody says, well, I still don't agree what you said. Well, don't. Just take that and put it aside. If I told you 20 things you agree with, and then one you got a problem with, then don't throw me away. Take the 20 things that's all right with you and take the one and put it on the shelf until you can eat off on it, and then one day you'll see what I'm saying. Quit doing that. Quit being like a baby. You know, dear God, I don't like what he said. I'm through with him forever. Would you grow up? Grow up. The grace of God's got to mean a lot more than you just getting mad because you don't understand something. God will give you the understanding. He'll help you. He'll help you. The word's true and it's right and it's been rightly divided and it'll bless you one day. There are things I've had to put on the shelf. And you know what? I felt so funny when I put them things on the shelf and then 2-3 years went down the road and I'm like, dear God, they were right. And I was so sure that I was right. And got down there and started growing and maturing and I looked at that and I'm like, oh, wow, now I see. So don't be so quick to throw away your brother or sister or me because you don't see something right now. Just, well, praise the Lord, let me put that on the shelf and I'm going to work on that tomorrow and pray about it and look at it and study it out and you'll end up getting more than what I got. You'll end up getting more than what you got, praise God. Anyway, it's always a privilege to take the time to share the Word of God with you. And I pray this has blessed you. And so if you need to go on a fast, if you realize that your body is just out of control, and you realize that you're lining up more with your senses than you are with the Word of God, go on a fast. Well, how long do you need to fast? Until your body quit doing what it does. Just say, no, you're going to either agree with the Word or, you know, you ain't going to have no pancakes until you agree with the Word. And I guarantee you, your body be ready to line up real quick. Amen. Somebody says, well, it might take 50 days. Boy, you in bad shape if it takes 50 days. You know, I'm not going to give you no time. You're looking for a rule. You're looking for a law. You will know when. Just, you know, at least, you know, breakfast or lunch or something like that. But do something. Don't just let your body tell you what to do and tell you how to live and tell you what to accept. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm moved by the Word of God. And fasting will help line you up in agreement with the Word of God. Father, we thank you for this time. And I pray that something that came out of this teaching will revolutionize somebody's life and they'll never be the same again. We give you praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, listen, if you're here and you're part of this Bible study tonight, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to say this prayer after me. Give your life to him. Come on, let's do it. Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner, but right now I repent of all of my sins. I believe Jesus is Lord. I ask him to come into my heart to be my Lord and my personal Savior. Right now, by faith, I declare that I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to go ahead and I want you to text I'm saved, that's one word, to 51555. Give me your name and email, and I'll send you a free ebook, something that'll help you out in your new walk with Christ. And again, congratulations.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We pray that this message has encouraged and empowered you to pursue God's best for your life. His grace is the pathway to living an abundant life. For additional life-changing resources or to learn about becoming a 2020 Vision Partner, visit our website at www.creflodollarministries.org or call toll-free 1-866-477-7683. Thank you for your support of Creflo Dollar Ministries. People like you change the world.